Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Now Bali podcast. I'm your host, Eddie Spears. Thanks for listening in. Today, we'll be drawing inspiration from the current global discussion surrounding Black Lives Matter. Now, bear in mind this is a podcast about Bali, which has very little overlap or connection with what is currently happening in the US. We still want to touch on this topic slightly though, from a different angle. No, we won't be debating the current situation in America, nor giving our social commentary on it. There are people far more knowledgeable about this you can learn from. What we'll be discussing today is an overlapping theme, which is tolerance and acceptance. Something which clearly African Americans have not felt they have had from their fellow nationals, despite centuries of being on the same land. Where Bali comes in is its religious tolerance and acceptance. The perceptions and perspectives of the Balinese towards religion on the island. We use this as a way of framing a wider discussion on accepting and celebrating difference. This is a slightly longer podcast episode, so strap in, relax, and enjoy the show. As mentioned, today's topic is born out of the social unrest surrounding Black Lives Matter, or BLM, which has brought about, once again, the need to address racism, acceptance and tolerance, or lack thereof, around the world. Whilst the movement is centered around the systemic racism and general treatment of African Americans in the US, societies around the world are banding together in protest in support of BLM, but also highlighting examples of racism in their own countries. In Indonesia, for example, it has brought about the discussion of the country's treatment of Papuans over decades. Now, activists are able to ride this wave of global awareness to shed light on this ongoing issue. Today, we'll be focusing on the pillars of tolerance that have helped Indonesia and Bali remain relatively unified, despite vast differences in ethnicity and religion in the region. First, I want to draw some similarities between Indonesia and the USA. Let's just look at its size to begin with. There's a map I saw on a website called Wowshack that superimposes Indonesia's landmass over the US. What you see is that actually, Indonesia, east to west, is 500 kilometers wider than the US. They both have huge populations too. Indonesia with 267 million people and US with 328 million people. So why am I making this comparison? Well, both of these nations have the same challenge. How can you unite people across such humongous areas of land? These are countries where some people have little understanding of cultures or societies within their own borders, let alone outside of them. Indonesia is the world's largest archipelago, comprised of 17,000 plus islands, 633 recognized ethnic groups, and 700 living languages on top of that. So with so much difference and separation, how is it that we've been able to band together under one flag? The potential for conflict amongst so many different backgrounds is huge, yet Indonesia remains relatively united. So Indonesia, like the US, have to find a way to bring all of these people together. What's funny is both countries have recognized this and actually share a common national motto. You may know the US national motto in Latin, E pluribus unum, out of many, one. In Indonesia, the national motto is Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, translated as, it is different, but it is one. Or popularly translated as unity in diversity. This is the motto carried out by the Garuda, the Javanese eagle that has become the national coat of arms in its form as the Garuda Pancasila. This is a perfect segue into our discussion about tolerance. In Indonesia, there is a general celebration of difference. The variety of culture, music, costume, indigenous practice becomes something that all Indonesians can boast about together. As if to say, yes, that colorful dance you're seeing, that's from my country. Not only celebrated by each individual ethnic group. Going back to the Pancasila, it has actually laid the foundations for tolerance in the country. The Pancasila outlines the five founding principles of the country, declared by Indonesia's first president Sukarno upon Indonesia's independence in 1945, and now emblazoned on the Garuda coat of arms and displayed everywhere. The 5 points are as follows. Ketuhanan Yang Maha Esa, belief in one almighty God. Kemanusiaan yang adil dan beradab, a just and civilized humanity. Persatuan Indonesia, the unity of Indonesia. Kerakyatan yang dimimpin oleh hikmat kebijaksanaan dalam perwakilan. Citizens led by collective wisdom in representation. And keadilan sosial bagi seluruh rakyat Indonesia. Social equity for all the people of Indonesia. Of course, even with this, Indonesia has faced conflict. Despite this belief in togetherness, there has been religious and ethnic clashes, from the bombings by Islamic radicals to the killings and terrorizing of Chinese Indonesians in the 1965 communist purge and the 1998 Asian financial crisis. But generally speaking, Indonesia has remained intact in its national unity. Whilst race has been the defining point of conflict in the US, in Indonesia, religion has been the difficult tightrope on which to walk. But this is where we bring the narrative to Bali, as Bali has been a great showcase of religious tolerance and successfully upheld the first principle of the Pancasila. Let's point out the fact, first, that this island is a majority Balinese Hindu population inside of the world's largest Muslim population. Its very existence showcases tolerance. Now, 2010 census reveals that 83.4% of Bali is Hindu, 13.3% Muslim, 2.4% Christian, and 0.5% Buddhist. But each religion's relationship with the island is what makes this special. The best example of religious tolerance comes from a quote Jean Couteau shared in his book, Myth, Magic, and Mystery in Bali. In his story, The Religion of Water, Jean shares an exchange with a Balinese friend, Kompiang, who says, "Religions are like rivers. They flow from the height of the mountain, and they all end up in the deep of the sea. It is only their paths to get there that are different." Isn't that a wonderful way of looking at religious difference? Yes, we are different, but we're all heading in the same direction, expressed in the most Balinese of ways, with reference to the mountain and the sea, Kaja to Kelod. But all around the island, you will see examples of not only acceptance of differences, but an actual amalgamation and blend of cultures and religions, a product of historic intermingling. In Nusa Dua, you will find Puja Mandala, a religious complex comprised of a Balinese temple, a mosque, a cathedral, a Protestant church, and a Buddhist monastery standing side by side. In West Bali, you will see churches and cathedrals built with Balinese architecture, red brick gopura and kori gates, such as those found at Balinese temples, used as the entranceways, the only difference being that a huge cross adorns its top. In Palasari, also in West Bali, a Catholic complex dedicated to Goa Maria, or Mary's Grotto, is the centerpiece of this Christian commune. In Belimbing Sari, also West Bali, another Christian hamlet, you'll find a beautiful Protestant church, where the church bell has been replaced by the Balinese kulkul, or warning drum, used in the Balinese temple. A little-known historical fact, found in the book Sakala and Niskala by Fred B. Eisman, shares how Christian missionaries influenced modern Balinese Hinduism. In the early days of Protestant missionary in Bali, the first task was to translate the Bible into Balinese. They searched and searched for an appropriate word for a single, all-powerful God. They settled for the term Sang Hyang Widi. This term was then adopted by the Balinese Hindu to promulgate their religion's belief in one supreme God, as was necessary by the Pancasila's monotheistic first principle, Ketuhanan Yang Maha Esa. You will now hear the Balinese Hindu refer to their supreme God as Sang Hyang Widi Wasa. Moving north, you'll find Pura Pabian, Temple of the Traders, which within it has elements of Hindu, Buddhist, and Islamic influences. Found by the sea in Pamutaran, it was a place for seafaring traders to come together and worship, no matter their background. A Chinese shrine lies within the temple even. Many Chinese temples can be found on the island. Known as Klenteng, these often bright red and white temples stand out in their neighborhoods, such as Vihara Satyadharma in Benoa, Vihara Dharmayana in Kuta, and Ling Guan Kyong in Singaraja. The last two blends three teachings of Buddhism, Taoism, and Confucianism, known as Tree Dharma. Buddhism is the most accepted of all in Bali, as Balinese Hinduism has absorbed many of the teachings from Mahayana Buddhism. Some scholars find that, in fact, the two are inseparable. The Majapahit, a Javanese Buddhist Hindu empire, is said to be responsible for the blending of the two belief systems. You'll find Buddhist statues and elements in Balinese temples, such as Pura Ulun Danobratan in Budugul and Pura Ulun Siwi in Jimbaran. As for Islam, well, Bali has been in contact with Islam since as far back as the 13th century, and they've lived side by side with the Hindu population ever since. Even when the island did have its clash and subsequent pushback in 2002 and 2005 with the Bali bombings, the Balinese reaction to these was not "Islam is evil," as Western civilizations painted the picture. It was instead, "Bali, our island is not in balance," which resulted in the island-wide purification ceremony or exorcism called Pemaresuda Karipubaya. Even after such horrific events, the Hindu and Muslim communities continue to coexist peacefully. So, it's clear that Bali has had an amazing exposure to outside influences over centuries. So how can anyone not accept differences that have actually added to the rich cultural tapestry of their own religion and island? Ironically, where religion has been the root of conflict around the world, it seems in Bali, through its historic intermingling and interactions with religions of the world, it has become the mode of acceptance, the understanding that their neighbor is heading in the same direction, to the sea. They're just on a different riverbed. But perhaps it goes at a higher level. Perhaps it was the very fact that these religions are all accepted in Indonesia's founding principles. It means that being Muslim, Hindu, or Buddhist is not a signifying factor on whether you are Indonesian. You can be a Chinese Muslim, a Batak Hindu, or a Balinese Christian, but you'll still be Indonesian. In Bali, you can meet a Wayan, Putu, or a Made, but they can be a Balinese Hindu or a Christian, but they are still very much Balinese. So what does that tell us? It tells us that only by accepting and celebrating difference can we create tolerance. This is the ongoing challenge for Indonesia to continue and further promote the adoption of the national motto, Bhinneka Tunggal Ika. To create the understanding that being Indonesian, being one, means to accept everyone else in all of their forms. And by everyone being Indonesian, that means everyone has the same rights and opportunities, no matter their background. And as for the US, well, perhaps their leaders should revisit their own national motto and find a way to be one out of many. That's it for this very long episode compared to our usual average length. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this, you might actually like to read an article written by Jean Couteau on our website called Preserving Tolerance in Indonesia. Just go to nowbali.co.id and search for that, and you'll get a deep dive into the long and interesting history of religious tolerance in the country. Also, if you're listening to this on Instagram or on our website, you can actually follow us on Spotify, iTunes, or Google Podcasts, or any of your podcast platforms, and you should be able to get our newest episodes every week in whatever podcast platform you use normally. And finally, this podcast was also recorded at Genesis Creative Center. Thank you to Genesis for this amazing sound quality that we're used to every week. You can find them on Instagram at inspire@genesis or their website inspire@genesis.com. So that's it for this week. Thank you for listening to the Now Bali podcast. This is your host, Eddie Spears, signing off. See you next time.